Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Do you know that we're constantly fighting a battle? There's things going on in the world right now that people don't understand. And this is the way that we fight those things, is by praise, thanksgiving, through the highs and the lows, knowing that we can be grateful for every single thing in our lives because He's already got it taken care of. We have victory. Victory is already something that He... Oh, man. Do you know that in the Bible it talks about how when He died upon that cross, He conquered death. He conquered it. It's not something that we should fear. It's not something that we should worry about. It's not something that even should be a nuisance in the back of our mind, because He's already taken care of it. Which means that when we move towards Him for things like healing, for when we move to Him for peace, when we're feeling like there's turmoil in our life all around us, when we move towards Him for those things, it's already been promised. Because when He conquered death, He conquered all. That was the point of why that's so important in the Bible. It's not because of just the words necessarily that He conquered death, but the fact that what comes with that means that when He conquered death, He conquered it all. That there was nothing, that there is not anything in this world that could come against you. Do you know how powerful that is? How powerful to know that you've already received victory in your life. That when you accepted Him into your heart and you allowed Him to begin to start working in you, that you already received that victory. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't know it right now, even where it seems like the world is just falling apart, you received victory, and you have an answer for this world that comes through you living your life in that victory, through you walking and showing, I am a conqueror. There is nothing that can come against me, because the God that I believe in, He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He has everything I need, and there is nothing that He has not conquered already for me. It's so powerful. So I just want to encourage you as we go back into this. If you have some things in your life that you're wondering, God, what are you going to do? God, I need your help. If you have things that you're just doing good, that's awesome too. Praise Him through it. Keep praising Him regardless of where you're at, whether you're on the hill or the valley. Keep praising Him because He's got more. All you gotta do is break down that wall and allow it to flow. Allow for His Holy Spirit to just be a constant flow that's moving through you and out of you. Because what He puts in, He wants you to give out. He wants you to just constantly have a flowing river of life through you that doesn't just flow in you, but flows to everybody around you. So I just want to encourage you, let's act like we won something this morning. When we praise, let's get excited. It's okay to jump. It's okay to shout. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to lift your hands. It's okay to clap your hands. It's okay to get excited because He's done some amazing things for you.
As Rebecca's speaking, you're not hearing her. You're hearing the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. And He just wants to say, everything that she's saying, don't look at it as being normal. We don't do this in a normal church, to having somebody speak during worship. But God is doing something new. It's a new time. It's a new... Take the blinders off your eyes that you can see the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the Holy Spirit, what she said was what the Holy Spirit wanted her to say. the Holy Spirit, and there's angels all around us. They are protecting us, they are with us, and we gotta close our eyes and know. So worship is about praising and worshiping and knowing, not expecting something great to happen. Just don't look at it as something that, oh, it's normal. Oh, Rebecca's talking and we got to do something else. No, the Holy Spirit is talking. The Holy Spirit is doing something. So you need to listen, because God loves you so much and he's smiling at you. He's smiling. He says that he loves you. And everything that you do is because he's bringing it to you.
Before we get started here, I wanted to go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for giving us this gathering place, this day, Lord, and thank you for this country we live in that we just celebrated the independence of. And Lord, thank you for our freedoms. And God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for your power and your grace, Lord, for choosing us. And God, I just ask that right now, as I speak, that you be with me, Lord. And Lord, that you help people to hear and understand the message which you've given me. And I thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I feel as though maybe this word was meant for today. Oh. You know, there's so much going on in this world, and everybody outside of biblical truth believes that they have the right message. In fact, it is so right that it comes to the point of, I will not listen to you. I will not change. Instead, I will rebel. And we as Christians, especially if something's not set out in Scripture, we shouldn't divide over something. And we also shouldn't force other people to believe the way that we do. Now, I'm sure later on I'm going to talk about that, but right now I wanted to read a psalm. So, it's Psalm 40, it is verse 1 through 5. Said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of my slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. So, I want you all to truly understand that God loves us. He truly loves us. He sees where we are, and he's going to bring us out of whatever despair, whatever trouble we're in. And he's going to give us joy, hope. Amen. Amen. But I wanted to highlight something in this verse as well. So first of all, let's read Proverbs 28. It's verse 14. As blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their hearts falls into trouble. Now, there's many people who fear what is going on in the world with the virus. One point of contention, which I never thought would be such a big deal, is face masks. There are people that if you wear a face mask, I've heard the term sheeple. You're a sheep. Which isn't a bad thing when it comes to Jesus, right? Because he is our shepherd. And then we talk about authority. We talk about how we have to respect authority. Many people say we have to respect President Trump, which we should. We should also pray for him. But when it comes to other authorities, sometimes what we do is we have this sense of rebellion. We oppose them. We denigrate them. Because if I say President Trump, a lot of times in church, you're going to get a lot of respect and honor for him. But if I say anybody else, let's say former Vice President Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi, people will say disrespectful and hurtful things. Now, you can disagree with politics, but they still have power to change your lives through the law. Same thing with the CDC. They have authority. We may not agree with what their plan is for us, but since they're in authority over us, it's something we should respect and honor. And we should always pray for anybody in authority over us. Anybody. Because when they are blessed, we are blessed. When they prosper, we prosper. And to be a nation divided over ideas, but not still able to talk to people as people, it's unworthy of our God. Besides the virus, there's, like I just stated, a lot of politics where people are divided. There's a lot of racial turmoil, economic turmoil. And many people are in fear of that. They're in fear of what they say they see their country becoming. But should we fear anything? The only thing we should fear is God. So, what I want to talk about here, is a little bit about what that fear is causing. It's going to help. What fear does, it pushes us to abandon Christ-like ways. It has us say hurtful things. It makes us act out of spite and rebellion. And even though we don't see anything, like maybe we're not rioting or looting, we're not toppling statues, there's still an opportunity for rebellion in your life. It doesn't have to be as big and grand as that. It could be something as simple as just not listening to God and doing whatever you have chosen. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. This is verses 1 through 11. And it says, "And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer and Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel. And as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, 'Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Shiloh so that it may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies.'" Now, do you see the first issue there? The issue is that they said, "Let's take the ark." There is nothing in there saying that they asked God if that's what they should do, or if that is even a battle that they should be fighting. So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who was enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all this shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A god has come into the camp," they said. "Oh no, nothing like this has ever happened before. We're doomed. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness." "Be strong, Philistines. Be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews. Have they been to you? Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. So what these people did is they took God, and they said, "You know what? If we're going to win this battle, we need God. Now, if we're to succeed in anything in life, do we need God?" Amen. So it sounds like a good idea, right? That we're going to take the Ark of the Covenant, which was how God's presence was here on earth. So they're like, "Okay, let's bring the Ark." Took it to the battle, and they lost. And it wasn't because God isn't powerful, right? It wasn't that God was unable to claim victory for them. But it was because they took God into a place where he wasn't asking to go. You know, there's a lot of times in our lives where we may want to do something. Let's say we're going to get a job, buy a car, house. We're going to make some big life change. We're going to say, "You know what? This is my plan, God. Come with me. You're going to bless it, right?" It's just like those Israelites who took that ark with them. You know, God's plans never fail. Never. Our plans do. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's that will prevail. We have to remember that in everything we do. And you know, when they took the ark, the Philistines had it, and they thought, "Okay, well, we got the ark now." And they took it into the temple with their god, Dagon, God, little g. So they set the ark next to him, and the next day, they found him toppled over. And then they stood him up. Next day, toppled over again, but this time, just the torso was intact. Head, arms popped off, right? So then they started saying, "You know, we need to get this thing out of here." They started getting struck with plagues. So like, "You know what, let's give it to the next city." Took it to the next city, plagues. Next city, plagues. And then there was a man who said, "Okay, you know what? Let's send this back to the Israelites." And then they made these, I guess, gold offerings, because they're like, just don't send it back. Send it with a gift. Sounds pretty odd, but they're in the shape of tumors and rats, the two things that they were plagued with. They had an understanding that God was not happy with them. And they knew exactly what God had brought upon them. And it's up to us as Christians also, we who do believe, to know when we are in the wrong. To know that we need to repent of things. Let's see. So, you know, there's The Israelites themselves, we know that their story is pretty long, that there's been a lot of rebellion, right? We know that they were enslaved for a time in Egypt. We know they were exiled from the places that they lived. And it all came down to just because they didn't want to follow God. They wanted to give in to whatever was opposite of what the Spirit had called them to. You know, it's okay to rebel, because obviously they did, right? I mean, they wouldn't have taken back their land by force if God wasn't with them. You know, a lot of times we see what we see as injustice, and we want to fight against it, but, you know, God needs to be in it. And we can't use the past to justify the present. We always need the counsel of the Lord in that moment, in that situation. Because we know that Jesus rebelled. He rebelled against the Pharisees. He flipped the tables in the temple courts. But what if Jesus chose a different time to rebel? What if he rebelled against the people that were going to put him on the cross? Would we have Jesus as our sacrifice if that were to happen? Would we have the eternal life that gave us? We wouldn't. And there's scriptures that say, slaves, obey your masters. It tells us to live such godly lives that they will be captivated by the message. Now, a slave is somebody who has somebody to rebel against, right? To be owned by somebody would be terrible, I think. So, rebellion is okay, but as long as God is leading you to do that. And we also need to make sure whenever we, I don't know, make our arguments, if we're debating with somebody, if we're speaking to somebody, we need to make sure that we're not twisting scripture in a way that justifies what we're doing. Because out of context, scripture can say a lot of stuff that is not meant to say. You can even see that the enemy himself used it when Jesus was being tempted. He quoted to him part of Psalm 91. And he said, throw yourself off this temple. You know, isn't your God going to protect you? We need to use scripture properly. We need to make sure that when we make statements, we say things, that it is the truth. Now I'm going to read you something from Titus, chapter 2 and 7 and 8. And he was speaking about older women teaching younger women, older men teaching younger men. And it says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff on the news, social media lately, and, you know, I've seen a lot of fruit of rebellion right now. There's certain things that Christians have opposed that all of a sudden it's kind of like we're showing a form of hypocrisy. If I say the term my body, my choice, would anybody know what I'm talking about? I saw somebody holding a sign. Didn't want to wear a mask. My body, my choice. Now, if we're a Christian fighting against something like that, we have just given place to their argument, speaking on abortion. Said, you know what? That's right. My body, my choice. But it doesn't affect you. Oh, but it does. What if I spread the virus? Oh. That's not a way to rebel. Do you remember the bakers in Colorado? There's a baker in Colorado said he couldn't do a cake for a gay wedding. Right? And he said he couldn't do it because of his religious beliefs. And the couple wanted to get a cake from him. We're arguing, well, you have to serve us because isn't it all right? Now there are Christians who are outside of a store who say, you have to serve me. Isn't it my right? But no, you have to wear a mask. So we have to see the implications of the arguments we're making. We have to see the implications of our rebellion. Many times we don't see those until it's too late. There's a scripture that, talking about setting an example. There's something that became very real to me. A revelation that I got just this Friday about how important it is to control our tongue. I mean, we've all heard the verse before, right? That our tongue is powerful. We know that it can speak life, it can speak death. We know that it's like a rudder on a ship. It can guide our course. We also know that, like a spark, it can ignite an unimaginable fire. We have an example of a great fire out there. It came from one spark, one of the largest in Arizona history. But on Friday, I received a call from my mom. She said, pray for your cousin's fiance. Her organs are failing. She has the coronavirus, and they're not sure if she's going to make it. And they just done a C-section a short time before that. As far as I know, the baby's okay. But I got a call Friday night. Your cousin's fiance has passed away. And it made me think, if I would have spoken out in rebellion, if I would have said anything, if I would have downplayed the virus, not because I know that my God keeps me, but to say, don't worry, it's not that bad. The Bible speaks of plagues. It says it's going to happen. So if I see a plague, I'm not going to dismiss it. Just because we have power over something doesn't mean we should be arrogant. But imagine if I would have spoke something angry, spiteful, if I would have downplayed anything, and then this happens. Would they have thought of my words or me as a compassionate person? Would they look to me for guidance? Would they believe whatever I say to them? Because our words are powerful and they have repercussions. So we as Christians need to make sure that we control our tongue in a way that we know that it can never be used against us what we say. Because we're always speaking truth. And we also need people to know that we're a place that they can find some compassion. They can find love. Because if all we're saying are hateful, mean things, what kind of things do they think are going to come out of our mouths later? So, when I look at James chapter 3, this is verses 13 through 18. It says, "Who's wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." Wisdom is important. It's going to lead you in the life that you should live. Humility is also important. To believe that everybody has something to teach you. You know, even though I stand before you, I'm preaching, right? I'm supposed to know the word so well, right? Well, there's things I don't know. Is that amazing? There's things that, because of the life somebody else has lived, they know that I don't. There's also people who may be able to see something in you that you don't see in yourself. And it takes humility to be able to recognize that that can happen. Because if we think we know everything, if we think we're as good as we need to be, there's nowhere for us to grow. There's no wrong in us. So why would we need to learn anything new? Why would we need to change? But just as I stand here in front of you, there's things that my wife knows that I don't know. There's things that she can teach me, and I'm always willing to learn from her. I tell it to the kids in the youth group. Because they have different life experiences than me. They focused on different things when they're studying than me. Everybody has something to offer to you if you're open to receiving that. I can't just think that I'm better than everybody, because I'm not. We are all the same. We're all valued as much in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter how prominent somebody is in the church, everybody has the same value. So it goes on, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. That's something that's holy, it's sacred. Then peace-loving. When you share your wisdom, does it sound like peace? Does it make peace? Is it loving? Is it considerate? Is it submissive? Full of mercy and good fruit? Impartial and sincere? Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, I said I'd probably address something. This can take me a moment here. So, I mean, I've said it before during the announcements. Some of the reasons why I wear a mask. Became a Jew to the Jews, a Gentile to the Gentiles, weak to the weak, so that I may win all to Christ. It's not the exact translation, but in Romans chapter 14, it talks about eating unclean meats. It talks about keeping days more sacred than another. And here it says, Romans 14, 13, and there are many things that we should speak out against. That's fine. But here it says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am being convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Now, did you hear that? It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from the faith. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. So, let's just say on the topic of masks. Somebody might have a different view than you. I don't see anywhere in Scripture it talks about wearing a mask or not during a plague. So the next thing we could do is, how is it going to work out? Like, if I wear this, am I denying the true message of Jesus Christ? To me, I believe no. Because what I believe is that there are people out there, maybe even in here, that if I approach them without a mask, they're going to be terrified. They're going to be frightened. Or if I approach somebody without a mask, they may think I'm being disrespectful, uncaring. So tell me, if I wear a mask and I don't believe I'm changing anything that's about the message of Jesus Christ, should that be an issue for me? No. But let's say somebody else believes that in Scripture has guided them to a different belief. I'm not going to condemn that person because of their belief. Instead, it's going to be this thing where I'm not going to separate with them. I'm going to have grace. But we may differ on something. You know, there are things that we should separate over. The Bible talks about them. Especially when it talks about somebody that's trying to just destroy unity. It says, warn them once, warn them a second time, then have nothing to do with them. Okay? Because God takes unity very seriously. But we're living in I don't really want to use that term, an uncertain time, where there are things that we as people personally haven't faced before. And it's important that we seek out Scripture to see how it is we should live during this time. But for me, if it's not set in stone in Scripture, and it has to be a very high bar. But there's not set stone in Scripture. It's okay to have a different opinion. And it's okay to have a discussion about it. But the moment it turns to anger, to spite, to rebellion, that is an issue. It's a problem. Because we should be peacemakers, always looking to, well, make peace with one another. So, Colossians 1, this is verses 9 through 12. And this is talking about the Colossians and how they're thankful for their faith and their love. And it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." It would be a much different world if we held to that, if we actually endured through things, if we were patient. Because many times, if we aren't, we act opposite of what God's called us to act. We're rash, we're emotional. Instead of being people who actually live the way Christ lived. So in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So I want you to hear that. Do you understand what that means for you? Qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. We get to share in the inheritance of the kingdom. That's something to praise God about. No matter what kind of difficulties we find in this life, we should always know that God's kingdom is at the end of it. And for eternity, rather than for a short time, we're going to have a joyful life. So, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. This is verse 18 through 24. It says, "Little children, believers, dear ones, let us not love merely in theory, with word or with tongue, giving lip service to compassion, but in action and in truth, in practice and in sincerity, because practical acts of love are more than words. By this we will know without any doubt that we are of the truth, and we will assure our heart and quiet our conscience before him whenever our heart convicts us in guilt. For God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him because we are in his hands. Beloved, if our heart does not convict us of guilt, we have confidence, complete assurance and boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, habitually seeking to follow his plan for us." Now, if you've ever had prayed a prayer you didn't receive an answer for it, I'm not going to say this is the reason, but it's one of the reasons, is that you might not be asking in the right way. You might not be asking something for something that God wants you to have. So, as I said before, It's the Lord's plans that will prevail, right? So would it be any wonder then that if we prayed for something that goes according to God's plan, that we would receive it? The very thing that we need to do is continually seek out what God's plan is for our life. We need to make sure that we have that relationship where we're constantly spending time with Him. Amen. If we put all that passion we have into debating with people or learning things from men, and we put that into spending time with God, learning from God, imagine how life-changing that would be. This is His commandment, that we believe with personal faith and confident trust in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, just as He commanded us. The one who habitually keeps His commandments, obeying His word and following His precepts, abides and remains in Him, and He in him. By this we know we have proof that He really abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us as a gift. Now we may see all kinds of turmoil around us right now, but we know that we have God, we have His Spirit for all of us that believe, which means we have the power to carry out whatever He's called us to do. We have the power, but we need to use it. You know, during the lockdown, I know that a lot of people strengthened their faith, and I know that some people came to faith. But we need to make sure that even if we think we're mature, that we grow in this time as well. And that we use what God has given us to glorify His name, to show the world what the true love of God is. When history looks back on this time, how is it we want them to view Christians? Do they want to see that we're just angry, fighting with people, rejecting things? Or would it be more powerful if they saw what the true love of God was? Imagine if a true movement could come out of this, where such revelation came upon His people that the whole earth was changed. But that cannot happen if we keep fighting the wrong fight. So in all this, just remember, don't try to take God into your battles, drag Him along, say that you're going to fight. But instead, go where God leads you and only fight when He calls you to fight. And close in prayer. Lord, I just thank You. Thank You for everything You are. Lord, if we've rebelled in any way against You, forgive us. Let us shine the light we're supposed to shine. Let us show the love that we're supposed to love, Lord. Let us only be guided by your Spirit. Reveal to us who we are. Remind us constantly that we're made in your image, God. And then you've given us everything we need in order to carry out your will for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.